The Property Pod. Welcome to The Property Pod with MoneyWeb. The property sector is an ever-changing sector. And in this podcast series, your host, Suren Naidu, chats to movers and shakers in the property industry.
Hi there, after the Easter long weekend, welcome to The Property Pod, South Africa's premier property investor podcast. My name is Suren Naidu, and on this MoneyWeb weekly show, we gain insider insights from leading executives, analysts, developers and entrepreneurs in South Africa's dynamic property industry. Joining me on this latest episode is Ian Anderson, the head of listed property and portfolio manager at Merchant West Investments. Anderson is also the compiler of the SA REIT Association's monthly chart book. Globally and on the JSE, markets have been volatile so far in April due to Trump tariffs and the increasing risks of a full-blown global trade war. But how have SA REITs been doing? Normally on the podcast, we do a quarterly review. With the first quarter of 2025 to March done and dusted, we thought it's worthwhile also reviewing part of April with all the volatility we've seen in the first few weeks. Stocks have recovered a bit since Trump's pause on the reciprocal tariffs on most countries, barring China, of course. But the uncertainty is likely to continue. Anderson weighs in now as we chat about the SA-listed property sector's performance for the first few months of the year and his expectations ahead considering the Donald Trump-induced volatility on global markets. Ian, welcome to the Property Pod.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
It's been a crazy month in April on the markets, hasn't it?
Absolutely. Intraday, intra-hour, intra-minute almost, there's volatility in our markets.
And for the REIT sector, obviously it has also been a bit of the contagion on the REIT sector, particular SA REITs, as we're talking about their performance.
Yeah, you know, before we started this conversation, I had a quick look at what's happened so far this year. And surprisingly, when we add in what's happening today, the market is actually flat. SA REITs are actually flat for the year to date, which seems almost illogical given the fact that, you know, interest rates are not going to be cut. Bond yields are a lot higher. We've got all of this volatility in global financial markets. And typically in previous periods of extreme volatility, and particularly when interest rates are rising, South African REITs have done very, very badly. I mean, one just needs to have a look at what's happened to the prices of some of our retailers this year. You know, Mr. Price is down 27% year to date. Truworths is down over 30%, Foschini over 30% down. So these, the companies that have typically done very badly are doing very badly, but the REITs seem to be an exception to the rule. So they were down a little bit in the March quarter, but as you've mentioned, they have now started to recover. And as it stands, they will be flat. And a lot of that has to do with what Growthpoint did in the first quarter.
Talking about that, because a lot has happened in April and the month is not over yet, but you said that the sector was down up for the first quarter to March. Can you share some insights on that side? Because it was before, you know, the initial announcement on those reciprocal tariffs. And it also comes off double-digit growth and the SA REIT sector being the top performing asset class in 2024.
Yeah, and I think that's probably one of the reasons why we did see a pause. I mean, if you cast your mind back to last year, the REITs, the SA REITs themselves, so excluding some of the stuff that's listed in South Africa, but that obviously invests outside of the country, REITs in South Africa did over 35% last year, which was well ahead of the rest of the market. And the reasons for that were varied, but they were mainly centered around the formation of the Government of National Unity, a suspension of load shedding for most of the year, expectation of reduced interest rates. And all of these things combined to encourage investors back into the sector, because it was a very neglected sector post the pandemic. I think what, you know, what we've what we've seen or what we saw at the beginning of the year were some initial concerns around Trump and his tariffs, because even before he made the official announcement, he was talking about it. And we saw bond yields start to rise. Less interest rate cuts were being forecast in the United States and here in South Africa. We had some load shedding. You know, don't underestimate what that does to the psyche of investors, particularly property investors, when, you know, you're suddenly having to burn diesel again and you're running generators. So all of these things combined to undermine investor confidence. But again, I make the point that it was significantly less severe than I would have anticipated, and has certainly been significantly less severe than we've seen in other interest rate and SA Inc. sensitive sectors. And the other thing, obviously, we started to see problems within the government of national unity, particularly around the VAT increase and what was going on with the budget. So all of the tailwinds that were driving the sector last year dissipated. They didn't turn into headwinds. So we don't expect interest rates to start rising. Yeah, the government of national unity remains an unknown at this stage. You know, I think if it does break up, that would then present a bit of a headwind for the sector. You know, I think generally it's just that there's less tailwind, not no tailwind. So I think for the year ahead, there are still tailwinds for the sector.
We'll get to that in a minute. It's difficult looking in a crystal ball at the moment, considering all the volatility. As I said, I know the JSE's recovered back to around the 90,000 points level, that record level. But things could change quite quickly. Can you give us some insight into that, considering the volatility we last experienced on this, maybe not on the scale, but the last significant volatility was back when COVID hit in 2020, early 2020?
Yeah, I mean, I did make a note and a comment earlier this month. I mean, we certainly are getting queries from investors wanting to know whether they should expect a pre-pandemic type of drawdown, or whether they should expect the sort of drawdown we had in 2018 when the resilient group of companies that stable unraveled. And my short answer is no. And the reason I say that with a high degree of confidence is, one, the economy's not being shut down. I think if people cast their minds back to March and April of 2020 or April and May of 2020, a lot of the REITs weren't collecting any rents. You know, there were shopping centers or parts of shopping centers that just weren't paying rent. We're not going to have that situation again. And I think another very, very important factor, and one that I've been harping on for quite some time now, is that most of the REITs in South Africa have used the opportunity since the pandemic to strengthen their balance sheets and to focus on improving the quality of their property portfolios. They've been culling the stuff that they don't want. They haven't been buying. So there hasn't been much external growth, but they have been focused on spending money on their existing portfolio to make it more attractive so that they can drive higher rentals into the future. So I think a combination of this time is different. It's not a shutdown of the economy. Yes, economic growth is likely to be sluggish and possibly even go backwards, but it's not going to be that sort of 2 months with no income for the REITs. And then secondly, I think their balance sheets are in better shape. You know, as you've already mentioned, you know, we don't have a crystal ball. We can't see exactly what the end game is for Trump. We don't know when he's going to stop. We don't know how aggressive he's going to be. We know that he's clearly targeting China. We do a lot of trade with China, so there's no doubt that the South African economy will be impacted. It's what degree will it be impacted? I think also the REITs are still trading at big discounts to net asset value. You know, and that was very different to the situation in 2017 when the sector was trading on massive premiums to net asset value. Investors are much more cautious going into this particular turmoil and potential drawdown. And most of the REIT sector is at sort of 20% discounts to net asset value at the moment.
That's a separate discussion altogether, but maybe not one that you could have in the current volatility, you know, due to its external factors. Ian, you talked about not much happening on the acquisition front. There is an exception with Vukile, a lot of acquisitions on that side, especially recently announced. But before we go into, we're not really zoning on specific companies, but my next question focuses on the property fundamentals that you mentioned in that write-up. Can you share more insights on this? Because we had a few companies bringing out their results and doing pre-closes during the first quarter and in April. And a couple of these, you know, I mentioned Vukile Expansion, but both GrowthPoint and Vukile have upped their guidance levels too. So that could be seen as positive.
Absolutely. And Resilience is another company you can add to that list of companies that one, released results ahead of expectations, and two, upped their guidance for either this financial year or the next financial year. And most of it was as a result of an improvement in the net property income they derive from their South African portfolios. So as you know, many of the REITs that are listed in South Africa have large South African portfolios, but they also have fairly large investments outside of South Africa. Vukile and GrowthPoint clearly have that. They have, you know, GrowthPoint has an investments in Australia. They've disposed of their investment in, or got rid of their investment in the UK, but they still have investments in Eastern Europe. Similarly, Vukile has been expanding on the Iberian Peninsula. They initially made their investments into Spain and have now expanded into Portugal. But the main focus for these businesses, or the reason why these companies had or did produce better than expected numbers, was specifically because of the improving property fundamentals in their South African portfolio. And it was across the board. You know, it wasn't specific to any sector. It wasn't like it was just retail. It was retail, it was office, it was industrial, you name it. There's been an improvement. And obviously that improvement is off a very, very low base. You know, in certain geographies and nodes and property types, vacancy rates remain at very elevated levels. You know, office properties in Sandton, for example, vacancy rates are still very, very high, and it'll be a long time before those landlords would be able to push rentals. But you know, conversely, if you look at the office market in Cape Town, vacancy rates are already below their pre-pandemic levels. And so there's an expectation that those rents in that region will start to rise. And for GrowthPoint in particular, they benefited substantially from an increase in tourism, which boosted the revenue they generated from their V&A Waterfront investment. So they own 50% of the V&A Waterfront. And it's a significant boost in tourism, has a significant boost on the profits generated by that particular asset. So, you know, again, it was very specific to the South African portfolios. Resilient, similar story, really strong growth in net property income from their local shopping centers, and even some of the smaller and medium-sized companies that reported during the quarter also reported better than expected or improved occupancy levels, improved net property income. Load shedding clearly has had a positive impact, or the lack of load shedding clearly had a positive impact on numbers. But I think we should see that continue throughout 2025 and possibly into 2026. And this is very different to what we've experienced in 2022, 2023, and 2024, when by and large, net property income was going backwards.
Well, it's important to mention, I think people think of bad news South Africa, but you know, Australia for GrowthPoint was a good performer for many years, but believe it or not, GrowthPoint is struggling a bit in Australia at the moment. And as you said, there's a lot happening in the Western Cape. They have increasing exposure there, big plans in terms of expansion of both the V&A Waterfront, but you talked about demand for office space. I'm sure they'll start pushing the green light on some of their other office developments in that part of the world. So your key message is that the SA REIT sector is better positioned in the current market volatility, would you say, or am I putting words in your mouth?
No, I would say that. I think, and again, it's showing up in the returns. You know, the market tends to be fairly efficient. The market knows what's going on. And again, it comes back to the recovery that we've seen in prices since GrowthPoint reported. So that was almost like a watershed moment for the sector when people, as analysts and fund managers, we've been trying to tell the story that we were seeing on the ground. We were starting to see an improvement in property fundamentals. The problem was it wasn't necessarily reflected in the earnings that these companies were producing. So, you know, they were still refinancing cheap debt at much higher rates, which is obviously problematic for property companies because they use gearing so heavily in order to generate the returns that they did. So the improvement that we were seeing in net property income was being masked by these higher borrowing costs, higher cost of capital. Now that the cost of capital has stabilized and going forward, we shouldn't see the same large increases in net interest expenses that we've seen in the last 2 or 3 years, we should now start to see clearly the improvements in net property income. So we're forecasting, you know, anywhere up to 5% growth for the sector as a whole in terms of net property income for this year, with a similar level forecast for 2026. Obviously, it gets a little bit more murky into 2026 because we don't quite know what Donald Trump is going to do. But again, that is vastly different from the scenario that we've had over the last 3 years, where almost without exception, distributions have gone backwards or distributable income has gone backwards. A combination of factors have contributed to it, but I'm a lot more confident, I'm a lot more positive from a fundamental perspective that we should see earnings growth from the sector in both this year and next year.
So we kind of ending on that note. My question was, what are your expectations for the rest of the year? That's basically 2025. We won't go into 2026 just yet. You talked NOI, but overall, in terms of capital growth, is there any potential there, or is that not something that's going to be factored in considering all the volatility? What are some of your other expectations from a performance side for the sector?
Yeah, I mean, I think you've got to look to 2024 and say, okay, what happened in 2024? There was probably a little bit too much baked into the prices in 2024. So, you know, I would certainly not at the beginning of the year, even if somebody had told me that, you know, the ANC would only get 40% of the vote, there'd be a government of national unity, we'd start to see interest rates being cut. I wouldn't have said that the sector would have done 35% last year. So I think some of the positive momentum or the improvement in fundamentals that we're seeing this year had already been baked into the prices of these businesses last year. So our expectation already at the start of the year was, you know, you should get somewhere between a 12 and 15% total return for the sector as a whole. At the moment, we're at zero. So we're 4 months in and we're still at zero. So there's quite a bit of upside. But we would need to see a settling down of the global uncertainty. We'd need to see less news headlines from Trump. We would need to see less geopolitical risk. We'd probably need to see less local political risk as well in order for that to happen. But, you know, we're still confident that the property sector is well placed in order to generate that net property income growth and distributable income growth. And on the back of that, we should continue to see an improvement in investor sentiment. And that should help these large discounts to net asset value unwind. So that's also one of the reasons why we are more optimistic about the prospects, the total return prospects for the sector. We know that we're banking a dividend yield of somewhere around 8 to 9%. So you start with an 8 to 9% income return, and then, you know, it's just what happens to prices. And so far this year, prices have gone backwards slightly, but that's then been offset by the income return. I think for the full year, if things can settle down a bit, then we should start to see those discounts to net asset value unwind. And we're still reasonably confident in our forecast for 12 to 15% total returns from the sector this year, made up of 8 to 9% income and then sort of 3 to 6 or 7% capital growth driven by the increase in net property income, but also driven by improved investor sentiment towards the sector because fundamentals are improving.
Ian, I appreciate the time on the podcast. That was an enlightening interview. That was Ian Anderson, Head of Listed Property and Portfolio Manager at Merchant West Investments, talking to us from Durban.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Property Pod with Suren Naidu. To listen to more episodes, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. Follow Suren on Twitter at Suren Naidu for more of his property industry content and other business stories. The
Property Pod. MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.